It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. And it's good to be here. I thank the preacher for asking me to speak, and I enjoy it, and I hope and pray that the Lord's Holy Spirit will be upon us this morning as we come to speak to you this morning. Today we're going to ask the question, who is Jesus? And I know our Sunday school this morning we was talking about Jesus and what he can do. But who is Jesus to you? What does he mean to you? One day, it says in New York City, as a man and his friends were going to lunch, he said they were walking down the street in New York City, you know how busy it is. And they were approached by a group of men with some cameras and a guy that was doing an interview. And he said, let me ask you a question. And they thought this is going to be some type of political question. It was going to be about the economy. It was going to be about the president. It was going to be about a hot topic, the health care reform. But no, this man didn't ask that question. The interviewer went on to ask this person. He said, who is Jesus? And the man had to think a while. And he says, this is what the man said. Who is Jesus? He said, well, he was a good man that lived long ago. And that's what his response was. The interviewer said when he got back and listened to all the responses of what he had heard that day, and this is some of the responses he got. A good man. One man said he's son of God. Another said he was a prophet. One said he was a wise man. Some say Savior. One said King of Kings. And one man even said a fool who thought he was the Son of God. Now, as we look at this topic this morning, I hope that we're going to see, before you leave this morning, who is the Son of God and who is Jesus. And we hope to answer that question for you this morning. And we're going to look, first of all, if you have your Bibles, I got some other scripture, but the first scripture I want you to turn to is Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 16 first. Matthew 16, 13 through 16. And before we read that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we ask again that you be with us, guide and direct us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit this day. Help us, Lord, to understand who you really are and what you mean to each one of us in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. And we bless your name, as Deborah and Joe and Albert sang. We bless your name for what you have done. You have broke the bonds of sin in our lives. You have freed us to proclaim thy word and tell this world who Jesus is. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, and we ask that you forgive us of our sins and bless the reading of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 16, verses 13, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man? Am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, and others, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So today, there is a question. Jesus asked a question, and those were some of the responses that he received. Today, we want to look now, if you would turn to John with me, and we want to look at the first chapter of John. And we want to look at the first five verses. First chapter of John, verses 1 through 5. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The book of John is a book that showcases Christ. That was John's main topic, was to show his divinity as the Son of God. And he left no stone unturned because he wanted to show the world what Jesus was, who Jesus was, and what Jesus could do in man's life. Now, John was part of the inner circle. When Jesus had troubles in his ministry upon the earth, when he had things to come upon him, he had three apostles or disciples that were with him that were in the inner circle. Along with John, there were Peter and James, and they were with Jesus a lot of the times when he had to make decisions, and they were part of his inner circle. As John always called himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The theme of John clearly states that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. And this is in John 20, 31. John's message is very simple. It's that eternal God Himself has become human flesh. Now, why did God become flesh? Why did He come to this earth to walk upon this earth? Because He saw that mankind was sinful, that they needed a way to be with the Father. And through Jesus Christ the Son, they would have a chance and have a choice to make, either to accept or reject the Son of Man. And today, we're going to look at what Jesus means to us. We're going to look at what some names of Jesus. And there's three topics we want to look at today. The first one is the names He bears. There's many names for Jesus. We all hear Savior. We hear Lord. We hear Master. We hear the Redeemer. And there's all kinds of names that Jesus has to each and every one of us and what those names mean. The first one that John talks about here in the first verse, He is the Word. Now, what does it mean? He is the Word. The Bible is the written Word of God. God inspired these men to write the Bible, and these people were inspired by the Word of God. And they know that the Bible's main focus, it goes all through the history of this world that was created by God. And the main character is the incarnate Word of God. God became human flesh so that He would be the one that you would look upon as Savior of the world. Now, he became the Word, and the Word was with Him. And Jesus Christ is that Word today. He is the Word. The second thing that we see is He is light. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world, and Jesus is the true light. And without that light, this world is lost. In the beginning, God created this world, and we needed light. If you put something in a dark closet, say this gardening time, you put a tomato plant in a dark room with no windows, no light whatsoever. You can put the best potting soil, the best soil you can have, the best fertilizer you can have, but if you place it in that dark room with no light, will that plant produce? No, it won't. It has to have light. And the light of the world with us, we have to have light. And that light is Jesus Christ. That light shines in our lives. And we have to let that light shine through Him and through us that the world may know who Jesus Christ is. Because He is the light of the world. The next one that He says, He is the Son of God. This is the claim that aroused the Jews in this day and time to persecute Christ. They didn't like this word that He was the Son of God. There are six people in John that call Him the Son of God. And we're going to talk about those six this morning. and I'll give you the verses. There's a lot. We're going to kind of go through the whole chapter. I know we don't have time to read all the verses, but I'll give you the verses so that we can show. Now, John the Baptist, in the first chapter, in verse 34, said he was the Son of God. John the Baptist was what? The forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came to share and tell who Jesus was before he came on the scene. He came to tell there is one who is what? Far greater than I am. There is one who is coming to take away the sins of the world, and his name is Jesus. Then Nathanael in chapter 1, verse 49, Peter says he was the Son of God. The man he healed of the blindness in chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Martha, when Lazarus healed, you are the Son of God. And then there's Thomas. Now Thomas was a man who said, I will not believe until what? I see the nail prints in his hands. When he did see this, he cried out, my Lord and my God. He knew that he was the Son of God. John says that the man that will not believe in Jesus, the man who will not accept Jesus, but who rejects Jesus, cannot and will not be saved. We have a choice in life as we go through this world. We have a choice to either accept Jesus Christ or we have a chance to reject Him. So Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ, it says, and this is found in verses 19 through 28 of chapter 1. What does Christ mean? Christ means the Messiah. All throughout the Old Testament, the prophets foretold of what? A Messiah was coming. A one who was coming that will be called the Anointed One. So we know that it was coming. It was foretold by the prophets. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And he came into this world to be the Messiah, the Christ. He came into this world to be the Savior, the one who would take the sins of each man, woman, boy, and girl upon their back and go to the cross that he might shed his blood for each and every one of us. He is the Christ. The next one he is called is the Lamb of God. And this is in verse 29 and also 35 and 36. As I talked about Abraham in Wednesday night service, we talked about his great faith. And last, we talked about his great faith as he took his only son, his son, not his only son, but Sarah's and his only son, to be sacrificed. And as they went up that hill, the question was asked and the announcement was made. Isaac asked, where is the sacrifice, Father? Well, as we see here, he is known as the Lamb of God. John's announcement is the answer to Isaac's question. Where is the lamb that was slain? Where is that lamb? The lamb is Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Lambs covered sin, covers the sin, but Christ taketh away the sin of this world. He takes away the sin through his precious blood. The precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross taketh away the sins of this world that we live in, of you and I. When we sin, we have the precious blood to cover that sin. The next topic that John says he is called, he is the King of Israel. This is verses 43 through 49 of chapter 1. Israel wanted a king. They cried out for a king. When Jesus came into this world, they were looking for a ruler. They were looking for someone of authority. They were looking for a king, a military leader. They were looking for someone different. But Jesus came as a lowly Son of God, born in a manger. And they just couldn't relate to this. They were looking for someone who was greater, they thought. But Jesus came to show us that he was born into this world for all mankind. Because shepherds were known as poor, the bottom of the totem pole. He came to save the lost, no matter who you are, where you are, how rich, how poor, how great you are. He came for all mankind. And when he fed the 5,000 on that miracle that day, and after he did this, Jesus departed, and they were crying out for him to be that king, for him to be that authority. But he didn't like, he knew that they misinterpreted who he was. He didn't come to be a king ruler or a dictator. He came to be Lord and Savior to each and every one of them. Later, that same crowd who cried out for him to be king cried out to be what? For him to be crucified, because they rejected him. So he was known as the King of Israel also. Christ's works proves that he is God's Son. He did many works. As we looked at this morning's lesson in the Sunday school, what did Christ do? He did many miracles. This morning we saw he healed the leper. He healed the centurion's servant. Because why? Why did he heal that centurion's servant this morning? Because he was a Roman. He was a military leader, this Roman soldier. He was a Gentile, but he came to Christ because he had faith in Jesus. And he knew that Jesus could heal. And he knew that he could do the work. He could do what he said. Jesus Christ's works proved he is God's Son. He created the world. In verses 1 through 4, we just read of chapter 1 of John, he was with God when the world was created. He was in the beginning with God. He wasn't just born later on after the world was created when God created. He was there when God created the world. He was in the beginning. And the main thing he does, he gives men and women and boys and girls a chance for salvation. He gives salvation to each and every one of us. And he gives it to us what? Freely. It doesn't cost a thing. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is believe in our hearts and accept him as our personal Savior. He gives us the salvation. He died upon Calvary's cross, as we celebrated Easter last week. He died upon the cross. He shed his blood for each one of us. And he gave all he had. He took the beatings. He took the sufferings that the Roman soldiers put upon him, the stripes upon his back, because of the love of each and every one, and because of sin that is in the people's lives that day and in the present world and in the future. Because he knew that we needed a Savior. And he gave his life freely. And that is, he proved that his love for each and every one of us is so great. You think your mom and dad love you. You think your grandchildren love you. But it's nothing to compare with the love that Jesus has for each and every one of us. His love is so great for each and every one of us that he died a cruel death for our sins. He reveals God, it says in verses 15 through 18 in chapter 1. Christ reveals the truth that he is the Redeemer. And a lot of people call him the Redeemer. He is the blessed Redeemer who gave his life for us. And another thing that we should always remember, he knows and has the knowledge of men, women, boys, and girls. He knows our inner beings. He knows our hearts. And he knows our thoughts. This is proves that he knows everything about us. He knows the hairs upon the number of hairs upon your head. He knows your inner thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking as you're sitting in the congregation this morning. He knows what's on your heart. He knows your needs. He knows your troubles. He knows what you're thinking and how great it is to know that he is waiting there to hear from us what our thoughts and our needs are for us. And he forgives sin, as we find in verse 29. He came to forgive and to forget. You know, a lot of people carry sin in their life, but Christ forgives. He forgave our sins. If we trust him and believe upon him and ask for his forgiveness. He says that he cast them from the east as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. He forgives us of our sin. Nobody but Jesus can forgive. Nobody can forgive the sin but Jesus Christ. And he opens that door that you and I may go to heaven. He gives us the chance each and every day to sing his praises, to worship him, and to what? To tell others about Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the light, he is God's word, he is God's son. And all these names that we think of Jesus Christ, he is all and far greater than we can imagine. He is greater than we can think of. You know, people think that people do great things upon this earth, but there's no comparison to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, what he can do. And then you need a witness. And John says that witnesses prove who he is. Who is Jesus? Well, you have to have a witness. When someone's on trial, you have witnesses who tell your story. Or if you have someone sees someone rob a store and they were in the parking lot and they come and testify, they're a witness. There were many witnesses of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is one that we can see that witnesses for Jesus Christ. He told of the one that is coming that is far greater than I. And he is a witness for Jesus Christ. John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He knew Jesus, and he knew him in an intimate way because he knew that he was his Savior. John the Apostle, who we're speaking of, studying and looking into his Gospel of John today, he says, "We beheld his glory," in verse 14 of chapter 1, because he saw the glory. And we should give God the praise and the glory in all that we do. It's not about us. It's not about nothing we do. We are to give him the glory for what he has done. Behold the glory and the greatness of our Lord and Savior. And then again, we talk about Thomas. Thomas said, he said, Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." But he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe." That's just like us today. We haven't seen Jesus personally, but what we have seen the miracles. We have seen Jesus work in people's lives. We have seen the Holy Spirit, once we accept him, come into our lives and take over our lives and be in us and live in us each and every day. The Holy Spirit is living in us, and he is there every day. Thomas had to see the nail prints in his hands, but blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Jesus had supernatural power also, and we saw many things that Jesus did and read in the Bible. He turned water into wine was his first miracle. He did that on a wedding feast day. They ran out of wine, and Jesus said, "Bring water." And what did he do? He spoke, and the water turned into wine. We see him feed the 5,000, as we talked about earlier. We've seen him more than 5,000. This was just the 5,000 men. There were boys and girls and women there also. And he took 2 loaves of bread and 3 fishes and fed this great multitude and had much left over. Who can do this? Nobody but Jesus. Who can turn the water into wine? Nobody but Jesus. Who walked on the water? Jesus did. He calmed the storm. And Jesus did all of this. Nobody but Jesus can do that. He cast out demons. He calmed the raging seas. And he cleansed lepers. and he raised the dead. As we studied last week, Pastor Sean brought the message about Lazarus. Lazarus died. And four days later, Jesus went and said, what? Lazarus, come forth. He waited 4 days to prove a point. He waited 4 days to show the people and us today that he is the Messiah. He showed the people of that day that he is the Christ, that he is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. As he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus is the answer. So today, I hope you understand that Jesus is more than a name. Jesus is more than just a man who became flesh and walked upon this earth. He is a man that we ought to be able to witness for and to say what Jesus is and what Jesus can do in people's lives. The question today for you and I, who is Jesus? Who is this one that they call Jesus? Will you be able to tell this lost and dying world about Jesus? Will you be able to answer a lost person's question and say, who is this man that you serve called Jesus? And how can I know him? How will we be able to answer that question? Think about that. Can we do that? Can we tell others who Jesus is to this lost and dying world? If you was put in a jury trial and you were put on the stand to be a witness for Jesus Christ, if you were put on that stand today, could you testify and give a great account of what Jesus has meant in your life, who Jesus is, to enough to convince a jury and the judge who Jesus is? It would be a shame as a Christian not to be able to get up there and tell the God that we serve, the Jesus Christ that we serve, how great he is and what he means in our lives. To testify and be able to share in this world today how great Jesus is and is in our lives today. How can you and I persuade people to believe in our Lord and Savior? We are his mouthpiece. We are his instruments today in this world. Generation after generation has to proclaim the great name of Jesus. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? The church has to stand up and tell the lost and dying world, excuse me, who Jesus is. Can you tell this world who Jesus is? Can you tell all about him? Can you just sit down and explain to a person the love of Jesus? Can you explain to a person who is out in sin, who doesn't care about Jesus, but ask the question enough to explain to them, to touch their lives, and tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ? As I read something to you this morning, I'm going to ask Becky to come and Deborah. Come and be with us, and ask Becky to come and play. Years ago, I probably read this at this church. Think about the name of Jesus. It says, Jesus, the mere mention of his name, can calm the storm, heal the broken, and raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred, bitterness turn to love, forgiveness, arguments cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever. And I've witnessed that little boy grow. He grew quiet and the fever brow cool because the name of Jesus. I sat at the bedside of a dying saint, her body racked with pain, and those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebony strength to whisper Earth's sweetest name. Jesus, Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet still, it stands today. Jesus, Jesus. And there shall be in that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall raise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is